Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Peter Madsen discuss a hot topic on the helpline, the 2023 amendment to the guidelines relating to criminal history, including the changes to status points, the creation of a new guideline for zero-point individuals at 4C1.1, and more. Without further ado, here's Lori and Peter.
Hi, Pete.
Good afternoon, Lori. Nice to see you again.
So today we're going to talk about some criminal history matters. Back in 2023, we had a criminal history amendment that did a few different things, and we get a decent number of questions on some of these changes that occurred. So we're going to talk about two of those today, and the first one we're going to talk about is what we call status points, which prior to November 1st of 2023 lived at 4A1.1D, right? So why don't you tell us what status points are all about, what that term means, and what changes occurred in 2023?
Good idea. So let's start with status points at the new 4A1.1E. So in essence, if you're under a criminal justice sentence, like you're on probation, parole, supervised release, imprisonment, work release, or even escape status, when you commit your instant federal offense, previously you'd be assessed two additional criminal history points. So what the new amendment did was actually a couple different things. Number one, it reduced the number of points from two to one and made it only apply to those individuals who have seven or more criminal history points or are category four, I guess, in criminal history category.
So that's a pretty significant change. If I'm hearing you correctly, that means that anybody that previously would have received those two status points, there would be a different rule now. This impacts everybody that would have received those 2 points in the past, correct?
I'm glad you brought that point up because you're right. It affects everyone. Either you're going to go from 2 points to 1 point, or in some cases, if you have, you know, fewer than seven criminal history points, status no longer applies.
So either 2-1 or 2-0.
Exactly.
Can you tell us why the commission made this change?
That is a good question. So the commission actually made the change because, as you know, we compile a ton of data. And some of the data we do pertains to recidivism. However, that data showed that the status point only minimally improved the predictive value of their criminal history score. I think it was like a 0.2% or something like that. It was very, very minimal. So that's why they acted on it.
Okay. I think that's really cool because, you know, I didn't understand really until I came here how amendments occurred. And I know that they can occur when there are changes in law and Congress tells us, hey, Sentencing Commission, you need to make this change. But sometimes amendments come about because of our own research that we found something different from what the guideline was originally intended to do. And this is one of those cases where the research didn't quite bear out what we thought, and so it was time to make a change.
Exactly. I think that was one of my biggest surprises when I came to the commission over 10 years ago almost now, was how much data impacts the commission and what they do and what they determine for either potentially new amendments or even information they provide to Congress for that matter.
So let's go back just for a second to these seven or more criminal history points. And we alluded to this. This status used to live at 4A1.1D. It has been moved to 4A1.1E. Tell me about those 7 points and why it changed position.
Right. I think it's for ease of application. So when we're talking about criminal history points, those seven that we're, you know, counting up to, so to speak, for this new amendment, we're talking about those that are captured under 4A1.1A, B, C, and D. So A being the three-pointer, B being the two-pointer, C being the one-pointer, and then the new, not really a new, but it's a new classification under 4A1.1D is the crime of violence point. So if you have seven or more in those categories, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, so that's why D and E had to switch places, because those extra points for crimes of violence treated as a single sentence are taken into account in that total of seven.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else that we need to know about status?
No, I think we're done with that.
Okay. All right. So, Pete, what else did this amendment that took effect in November of 2023 do in terms of criminal history?
That's a good question. So it actually created a new guideline, which I think is actually pretty cool in of itself. I've been here almost 10 years, and I don't think there's been a new guideline since I've been here. So the new guideline is at 4C1.1 that refers specifically to zero-point individuals.
So what does that do? Well, first of all, let's talk about what do you mean by a zero-point individual?
A zero-point individual is an individual who has zero criminal history points, either because they genuinely have zero or their criminal history they do have is too old to count.
So there can be somebody who has prior convictions, but they're timed out. We can't bring those into the calculation.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've identified who a zero-point individual is. Tell us what this new guideline does for those people.
So for those individuals, it's a two-level decrease, but it comes with some caveats. It's not two-level decrease just because you have 0 points. It's also tied into different offense exclusions that would render or make some individuals ineligible.
Okay, can you tell us, give us some examples of who might be excluded? I know there's a pretty long list there, right?
There is. I think there's 11 or 12 or so. There's different exclusions based upon the conviction. Some are defendant-based and some are offense-based. So for instance, under the conviction base, there's if you're convicted of a sex offense, if there's an individual rights case out of 2H1.1, or there's a serious human rights violation.
Okay, so just because you have 0 criminal history points doesn't automatically mean you're going to get this 2-level reduction.
Right.
There are times that it is still not going to apply. Can you tell me why the commission chose to create this new guideline?
That's another good question. Again, you can imagine we have a ton of data, right? And so the data here kind of bears out that those 0-point individuals are less likely to be rearrested than even those with 1 point. So if we compare the data, those with 0 points have a 26.9% chance of being rearrested as opposed to a 43.3% chance with 1 point. And that difference between the 0 and the 1 point is actually the largest difference between any number of criminal history points, a little over 15% in our criminal history table.
So the commission looked at this statistical significance and decided that a change needed to be made, that some kind of reduction needed to occur for these individuals with no criminal history points. So does that actually come off of the criminal history category, those 2 points?
So it doesn't. We always talk about guideline application and correct guideline application for that matter. So you have to apply the book in order. So for instance, say we're in the drug guideline at 2D1.1, the defendant's offense level is 16, they plead guilty, they do so in a timely manner. We know our rules say, guess what, you get like a 3-level reduction, 2 for pleading guilty, 1 for timeliness. So you have your offense level of 16, you subtract out your 3 levels for acceptance, now you have 13. Go to chapter 4, where the 2-level decrease is for the 0-point individual. So 13 minus 2 is 11. I got to do the math in my head so much quicker, right? So we're looking at offense level 11. So the bottom line is we're doing the guidelines in order. Chapter 2, chapter 3 with acceptance, and then chapter 4 with the 0-point individual reduction.
So this actually comes off of the offense level. So the reason for that is that at a criminal history category 1, we have individuals with 0 or 1 criminal history point.
Right.
So we can't go lower than a category 1. So these 2 levels are actually coming off of the offense level, which is why that order of operations that you just reviewed becomes very important of knowing when exactly to make that calculation.
Exactly.
So Pete, you mentioned that there are different types of exclusions. Some are defendant-based, some are offense-based, and some are driven by the offense of conviction. And those are important terms, right? Throughout guideline application, you really need to pay attention to defendant, offense, offense of conviction. But can you give me an example of an exclusion in each one of those categories?
Sure. For conviction-based exclusion, those individuals that are convicted of sex offenses, we have the definition in the application note that kind of spells out what a sex offense is. We have numerous defendant-based exclusions, such as the defendant did not use violence or credible threats of violence, substantial financial hardship. And then we also have some offense-based exclusions as well, such as the offense did not involve death or serious bodily injury.
And when you say those offense-based exclusions, when you're talking about that, you mean the offense and any relevant conduct, right?
Exactly.
So it's not specific to the defendant. It could include jointly undertaken criminal activity.
Absolutely.
And you also mentioned sex offenses as being an exclusion. Now, there was a change to that definition in the next amendment cycle, right, that took effect in November of 2024. Can you tell us about that?
The sex offense definition itself is actually in the 4C1.1 guideline, so 4C1.1B2. And just as a side, there's also other definitions in there under B1 that talk about dangerous weapon, firearm, offense, serious bodily injury. We're not creating new definitions. We're not trying to make this more difficult than it needs to be. These are definitions that people are already familiar with.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Peter.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify to stay up to date. If you've got a question for the helpline or want to access any of the resources discussed in this episode, you can find us at ussc.gov. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and it is not binding upon the Commission, court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.